with Florida taxpayers. Paid for by Americans for Tax Reform. Learn more. Visit atr.org/cutspending.
Get the Midday News live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Congregation, I have good news. This week is an all-celebration edition of the Transgressors Memorial Service. The first item of praise this week is for the creative geniuses at Who Gives a Crap, a company that produces toilet paper that is 100% recycled paper or bamboo. Aside from being obviously awesome, Who Gives a Crap has now joined the information battle for the future of our planet by releasing an updated version of Winnie the Pooh, the Deforested Edition, which has all the stories from the original Milne classic, but now in the public domain after its copyright expired last year. In this version, all the pictures show the 100-acre wood in its modern, deforested condition. So Owl's house is a stump, Pooh Bear's house isn't there, Piglet's tree is missing, and there isn't enough foliage left in Six Pines Grove to make Eeyore's house, let alone a decent supply for a game of Pooh Sticks. Thus, the happy-go-lucky world of imaginary stuffed animals come alive with lighthearted antics and personality contrasts has now successfully transformed into the vivid imagery of planetary despair, as if Pooh and all his friends were living in the reality Eeyore experiences every day. This product beautifully honors Proctor's 15th Lesson in Cultural Appropriation, Geneva Revised Edition 2J, which teaches us that good propaganda always takes beloved cultural tokens and reimagines them in line with the values of the hour. It also follows Eikenberry's fourth dictum, wherever you find simple joy, eradicate it. Nothing undermines our power more than moments of guilt-free happiness. A twofer. Of course, we do still have concerns. The social structure of the 100-acre wood still has a white male, Christopher Robin, so arrogantly assuming a patriarchal, Caucasiarchal, and humanarchal leadership role without so much as a free and fair election. Also, we don't like the xenophobic implications related to Heffalumps and Woozles, who are likely just cross-border migrants fleeing political persecution and seeking asylum in the 100-acre knot of wood anymore. But of course, they and many other concerns pale in comparison to the planetary threat from climate change, and progress on that cause is our issue, uber alles. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Second, kudos for Gavin Newsom, who this week appointed LaFonza Butler, the head of Emily's List, an organization that works to get pro-choice Democrat women elected to fill out the U.S. Senate term for the late Dianne Feinstein. Yes, not only is LaFonza a justice warrior by her actions, but she is also, and far more importantly, the first black female LGBTQIA2S+ senator in U.S. history. What? And to know that Governor Newsom actually promised to nominate someone precisely because of her skin color, gender, and orientation over anything else just makes us want to momentarily enjoy this momentous moment of mounting momentum. But wait, there's more. In addition to all of her solid token representations and certified acronymical identity, Senator Butler is also the first left-handed, youngest of three, mother with a daughter, born south of the Mason-Dixon line but lives in Maryland until she officially relocates to California, taller than 5'10 but under 250 pounds with a mole on her right arm, a birthmark on her left hip, who finished seventh in her class at Jackson State University, vegetarian, WNBA fan who also one time snuck into both an Indigo Girls and a Run DMC concert, loves to read George R.R. Martin novels, black lesbian U.S. Senator. Bask in that glory. Now, it's true. She has around $300,000 in net worth, but don't hold that against her since she's made most of her money as a union organizer and a highly paid executive at the nonprofit Emily's List. It's not like she was in the filthy business of making products or services for people. So celebrate the day and the lengthy list of boxes Senator LaFonza Butler checks off. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
And finally, we want to praise the fine and courageous work being done at Red Balloon, a job recruiting website that recently published an ad that honestly, I just can't say enough about. In case you don't recall, there was a delightful Super Bowl 33 commercial in 1999 from Monster.com that really inspired young people with the ideals of corporate life and how to fit into a nice, healthy cubicle owners association and submit to authority like a good government bureaucrat would.
When I grow up, I want to file all day.
I want to claw my way up to middle management.
Be replaced on a whim.
I want to have a brown nose.
I want to be a yes man.
Yes woman.
Yes sir. Coming sir.
Anything for a raise sir.
When I grow up, I want to be underappreciated.
Be paid less for doing the same job.
I want to be forced into early retirement.
What a wonderful expression of the joys of corporate life. That ad made me so proud to be a third generation Scrivener's era remediator. Well now, in honor of that pro job ad from the 90s, Red Balloon has produced their own version. Here, take a listen.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company.
Like super woke.
When I grow up, I want to be hired based on what I look like.
Rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
This is so beautiful. It brings a tear to my virtue signaling eyes. Listen again as these children proclaim their undying aspirational devotion to our values.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
The awareness, the cancellations, the beauty of self-inflicted censorship and the power of fear in a social setting. I'm not sure I can take much more of this idyllic vision.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns.
What are pronouns?
Now, other than that last question, which indicates the young man may have missed out on some of his third-year basic gender identity indoctrination, this is just plain inspiring. So in honor of Red Balloon, we just want to say how proud we are at how they turn children into propaganda advocates for embracing our way of life. It's truly glorious. Wait, what? Wait, pardon me, just a moment. Say that again? What do you mean sarcastic? Satire? Oh, goodness. Folks, look, I'm getting a very upsetting message in my earpiece from the senior two-star Wokeadoxy enforcer level 3 in our home office, who is always monitoring the proceedings to assure uniformity of thought in my comments. And I love the oversight, by the way. He says the commercial is satire. I don't understand. How can devout children be a form of satire? They're just eloquently and clearly representing young Wokeolites everywhere. How could this be anything other than sincere? What do you mean? I need to play the last part?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, redballoon.work.
No! Dear brethren, sistren, and others, I am so profoundly sorry. I did not realize this company was using that villainous device of irony in a misguided and heretical attempt to poke fun at everything we believe is true. I confess, I thought they were being sincere and it was so beautiful, but in my defense, I was only practicing the fifth precept of wokeness. Satire and comedy have no place in our system because they promote innovative thought, self-reliance, and the questioning of authority, the three most dreaded capabilities that ever threatened the wokeissance. So with my sincerest apologies, I hereby cast out Red Balloon and the writers of satire everywhere. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
As you depart today, be sure to check the postings for your entertainment media assignments this week. With the writer's strike resolved, you may safely now resume watching Jimmy Kimmel, Stephen Colbert, and Saturday Night Live so that you can receive your valuable midweek training and indoctrination between Friday memorial services. If you think you've been assigned to Seth Meyers by mistake, just remember, it's our duty to support all the unfunny shows equally, just to make sure the networks aren't tempted to put any conservative content on the air. It's happened before, you know, and we must ensure that it never happens again.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.